From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope that listeners, all of you are fine. And today, on Wednesday, you can also do your best, listeners. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news, information, commentary, and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news. And stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo and Saudi Foreign Minister Prince Faisal discuss Hajj pilgrimage implementation. Vice President Maruf Amin said, T20 offers momentum for Indonesia to gain global trust. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news. President Joko Widodo received a courtesy call from Saudi Arabian Foreign Affairs Minister Prince Faisal bin Farhan Al Saud at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday. During the meeting, both of them held discussions on several topics, including the Hajj pilgrimage implementation and the economic cooperation between the two states. Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi, who accompanied President Joko Widodo at the meeting, noted via an official statement in Jakarta on Tuesday that President Joko Widodo commended the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia for offering Indonesia the largest Hajj pilgrims quota, which is more than 100,000 people, or precisely 100,051. With the improvement in the pandemic situation, the president expects the quota for Hajj pilgrimage to continue to be increased. He also prayed for this year's Hajj to run smoothly and safely. Vice President Maruf Amin stated that the G20 forum, in which Indonesia holds its presidency this year, offers a good momentum to boost credibility and gain trust of the global community. During a public lecture for the participants of the 63rd and 64th batches of the National Resilience Institute Lemhanas regular education program in Jakarta on Tuesday, he affirmed that Indonesia proceeds over the G20 presidency amid various challenges plaguing the global community this year. He also emphasized that Indonesia's G20 presidency, with its main theme, being recovered together, recovered stronger, is moving with three priority agendas of the global healthcare architecture, digital economic transformation, and energy transition. The Indonesia-Australia Climate Change Partnership will push investment in new and clean energy. This was stated by Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto at a meeting with Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese in Jakarta recently. He also affirmed that bilateral relations between Indonesia and Australia, which date back a long time, must be made deeper. In a written statement in Jakarta on Tuesday, he said that the leadership of Prime Minister Anthony in the future will represent a key moment to explore new opportunities. He added that the issue of energy transition has become one of the main topics at Indonesia's G20 presidency this year. The first roadmap for net zero emission NZE will be launched soon, with support from the International Energy Agency's IEA's Clean Energy Transitions Program funded by Australia. The Indonesian government has vehemently denounced the derogatory remarks made by two spokespersons of India's ruling party BJP against the Prophet Muhammad. The Indonesian Foreign Ministry tweeted on Tuesday that this message has been conveyed to the Indian Embassy in Jakarta. The BJP on Sunday suspended its national spokesperson Nupur Sharma and expelled its Delhi media head Naveen Kumar Jindal after they made derogatory remarks against the Prophet Muhammad. Several Arab and other Muslim-majority countries expressed condemnations and summoned Indian ambassador in the respective countries to express protests against the unacceptable remarks. Let's move on to the international news. The Dutch Public Prosecution Service demanded life imprisonment for two individuals accused for a murder of prominent Dutch crime journalist Peter R. de Vries in 2021. National media reported on Tuesday. The court in Amsterdam opened a trial on the murder of de Vries on Tuesday. The defendants are the 22-year-old Delano G., who is charged with shooting the journalist, and his accessory, Camille E., 36 years old, who drove the car in which they fled the scene of the murder. According to the Dutch Broadcasting Foundation NOS, the prosecutions at the trial admitted that they had been wavering between a maximum sentence of 30 years imprisoned and life imprisonment, but ultimately chose the latter. The state prosecutor further stated that the investigation established the defendant had a premeditated plan and knew exactly who to shoot. Cambodia and Beijing on Tuesday denied a report that they are building a secret naval facility for the Chinese fleet as Australia's new Prime Minister Anthony Albanese voiced concerns and called for transparency. The Washington Post, citing unnamed Western officials, said a new facility at Cambodia's Ream Bay, strategically located on the Gulf of Thailand, was being built for the exclusive use of the Chinese Navy. The base has been a running sore spot in U.S.-Cambodian relations for years, with Washington's long suspecting it is being converted for use by China as it seeks to butter its international influence with a network of military outposts. Russian ambassador to the United Nations Vasily Nebenzia walked out of a U.N. Security Council meeting earlier this week. He took this walked out when European Council President Charles Michel accused Russia of triggering a global food crisis with its invasion of Ukraine. Reported by Reuters on Tuesday, Michel, before 15 member states of the UN Security Council on Monday, local time, also accused the Russian army of committing war crimes and crimes against humanity in Ukraine. Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which started last February 24th, has triggered a global food crisis with high prices of grains, cooking oil, fuel, and fertilizers. Listen on, let's move on to Diplomatic Corner. On students of elementary school in the U.S. sing a song, Burung Kakatua, and play Angklung.
As many as 24 students of elementary school from John Eaton Elementary School in the United States sang a song entitled Burung Kakatua and played Angklung, or traditional musical instrument, harmoniously combined with the xylophone musical instrument. The Indonesia Embassy in Washington, D.C., in its written statement, said that it was performed when the 24 elementary school students visited the Indonesian Embassy in Washington, D.C., to present interesting things they have learned about Indonesia recently. This visit is the final activity of the Embassy Adoption Program, or EIP, which has been going on over the last 6 months. In this program, the Indonesian Embassy paired with the John Elton Elementary School, being witnessed by the Ambassador, Deputy Ambassador, and staff of the Indonesian Embassy. The fifth grade student of this elementary school took turns in giving short presentation about Indonesia. With high enthusiasm, they talked about Indonesia, starting from the language, history, culture, food to climb, and biodiversity. In his remark, Ambassador Rosan P. Ruslaini gave high appreciation for the performance. He hoped that the student can continue to learn about Indonesia after the EIP program is completed. The EIP program is an annual event organized by the local government of Washington, D.C. through the District of Columbia Public School and the Washington Performing Arts, a non-profit organization. The activity aims at introducing the cultural diversity of the other countries to elementary school students in the capital city of the United States of America. Indonesian Embassy in Washington, D.C. has taken part in the EIP program since 1983, with the hope of increasing the United States' public understanding of Indonesia, as well as strengthening friendly relations at the community level between Indonesia and the United States. We start at an early age. That's Diplomatic Corner.
Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on June 8, 1921, the birth of Indonesia's second president, Suharto. Suharto is the second president of Indonesia to replace Sukarno. Suharto was born in Bantul, Yogyakarta, June 8, 1921. Prior to becoming president, Suharto was a military leader during the Japanese and Dutch occupation. He officially became president of the Republic of Indonesia in 1968. His term ended in 1998 after he resigned on May 21st of that year, following the May 1998 riots and the occupation of the House of Representatives and People's Consultative Assembly building by thousands of university students. He is the longest-serving Indonesian in his tenure as president. Moving on to the event on June 8, 2004, when there was a rare astronomical phenomenon transiting Venus. A rare astronomical phenomenon of transit of Venus occurred on June 8, 2004. Transit is the passage of a planet in front of the Sun's disk because at that time, the Sun, planet, and Earth are in a line and at the same time, a plane. This event is similar to the occurrence of a solar eclipse. The transit of Venus is one of the rarest predictable astronomical phenomena. This phenomenon takes place in a pattern that generally repeats every 243 years, with a pair of 8-year transits separated by lengths of 121.5 years and 105.5 years. We end today in history with an event on June 8, 2008 when World Oceans Day was established by the United Nations. Canada proposed World Oceans Day at the 1992 United Nations Conference on Environment and Development in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. This idea was not immediately endorsed by the United Nations. The proposal for sustainability came in 1998, when the Intergovernmental Oceanographic Commission of UNESCO campaigned for a World Oceans Day. Furthermore, two conservation organizations, namely the World Ocean Network and the Ocean Project, with various other environmental groups, celebrated Ocean Day in 2002. It was only in 2008 that the United Nations General Assembly officially designated June 8 as World Oceans Day. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。Evite
la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over bragging
van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government continued and strengthened water resources with the Netherlands. It was marked by the signing of Memorandum of Understanding between the Public Works and Public Housing Minister Basuki Hadimulyono and the Dutch Infrastructure and Water Management Minister Mark Habers. Press release of the Public Works and Housing Ministry mentioned that the Minister Basuki Hadimulyono and Mark Habers had signed a Memorandum of Understanding for the fifth stage of water management cooperation. The agreement was taken in Den Haag, Netherlands on Friday. Minister Basuki hoped the technology and experience of the Netherlands could help Indonesia in developing a disaster-resilient city and an integrated and smart water resource management. Minister Basuki Hadimulyono said the Netherlands and Indonesia cooperation on water resources had been running since 2000, resulting in various beneficial projects. This cooperation became even stronger to support water resources as a priority included in the Indonesian National Midterm Development Plan 2020-2024 and the National Strategic Project or PSN. In the meeting, Minister Basuki also invited Minister Mark Haber to join the World Water Forum 2024 in Bali. The forum theme Water for Shared Prosperity became the right moment to accelerate the achievement of sustainable development goals on water and to answer various food-related challenges, including the use of marsh outside Java, energy security, and climate resilience. Basuki Hadimulyono also hoped for the Netherlands' support in providing a vocational education instructor at the Public Works Polytechnic in Semarang. He admitted to being very happy that the MOU could be signed after waiting long because of the pandemic. Before meeting Mark Habers, Basuki Hadimulyono had a meeting with the CEO of Global Center of Adaptation, Patrick Verkoyen. In this meeting, Basuki invited the GCA Advanced Team to visit Indonesia by the end of June 2022 to discuss various concrete action program plans with the team of the Public Works and Public Housing Ministry of Indonesia. Oh, oh.
Kau yang bangunkanku dari mimpi burukku, kau hangatkan hatiku yang dulu sempat membeku. Kau yang lelapkanku dari masa laluku, kau katakan padaku hanya aku di hatimu. Tadinya ku berpikir engkaulah untukku, tapi ku melihat kau mempermainkan diriku. Kau pergi dengan yang lain, hati ini kau buat mati. Lelahku merasakan sakitnya dikhianati. Tak ada yang lebih perih dari ini. Oh, 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 oh. Kau masa laluku, kau katakan padaku hanya aku di hatimu. Tapi ku melihat kau mempermainkan diriku. Kau pergi dengan yang lain, hati ini kau buat mati. Ku merasakan sakitnya dikhianati. Tak ada yang lebih perih dari ini. Oh, 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 oh. Tapiku melihat kau mempermainkan diriku. Kau pergi dengan yang lain. Hati ini kau buat mati. Lelahku merasakan sakitnya dikhianati.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listeners, the tourism village of Tinalah is rich in natural, educational, and cultural tourism potential. This tourism village is located in the Menora Hill area at an altitude of 117 meters above sea level with a daily temperature of 25 to 32 degrees Celsius. This tourism village, which is located in the area of the Tinalah River and Menara Mountains, has the concept of unifying nature and cultural values with the slogan Enchantments of Nature and Culture. The name of this tourism village is taken from the name of Tinalah River. Tinalah Tourism Village, also known as Dewi Tinalah, offers various tour packages including outbound, camping, trekking, and river tubing package. Tourists can explore the natural beauty by climbing Klecho Peak along the Tinalah River and also Sriti Cave. For tourists who are interested in learning history in the Tinalah Tourism Village, there is a museum where a lot of historical objects are stored. It is called the National Password Museum. This tourism village is located on Jalan Persandian, kilometer 5 in Purwoharjo Village, Samigaluh District, Kulon Progo Regency, Special Region of Yogyakarta. The tourism village of Tinalah can be used as a place to relieve fatigue, restore your freshness and enthusiasm after a busy and tiring work activity. The fresh air makes tourists relax and healthy. The Tinalah Tourism Village, which is managed by the local community, prepares various types of tour packages, ranging from staying at Joglo Wiguna and Omahku, staying in nature, staying at Joglo's house, outbound camping area, Makrab Yogyakarta, Tinalah tubing, family and community gatherings, Tinalah trekking, going down the Tinalah River, Joglo Meeting Room, Live-In and Nature Tourism at Puncak Klecho. All of these packages certainly have a variety of Instagrammable photo spots. So, what are you waiting for? Come to Yogyakarta, especially the tourism village of Tinalah. That's Indonesian Wonder.
Thank you.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Indonesian, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Indonesian, is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is still about stay at the hotel, so stay tuned. We are going to present you a conversation entitled Pukul Berapa, which means what time. This conversation happens between Dev Singh, a tourist from India, and a hotel receptionist. Dev asks the receptionist what time the restaurant is closed. Let's listen to the conversation.
Pukul berapa restoran tutup?
Restoran tutup pukul 9 malam.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of today. I'm going to say each word 2 times and you can repeat after me. Pukul, which means time. Berapa, which means how much, or in this context of asking time, it means what. Restoran, which means restaurant. Tutup, which means close. Pukul berapa restoran tutup, which means what time is the restaurant close? In the conversation, you hear the question, Pukul berapa restoran tutup, which means what time is the restaurant closed? In the question, there is a phrase pukul berapa, which means what time is it, to ask the closing time of the restaurant. It is followed by a condition that is asked, namely restoran tutup, which means the restaurant is closed. The question pukul berapa, which means what time, is used to ask specific time, while to ask general time, you can use the question word kapan, which means when. Let's listen to the conversation to ask time. Selamat pagi, pukul berapa kamar dibersihkan, which means good morning, what time is the room cleaned? Selamat pagi, kamar dibersihkan pukul 10, which means good morning, the room is cleaned at 10. Kapan bapak kembali ke India? Which means, when will you go back to India? Bulan depan, which means next month. To state a specific time, you can use the word pukul, which means at. For example, saya berenang pukul 2, which means I swim at 2. Meanwhile, the word jam, which means hour, is used to state the duration of time. For example, saya berenang selama 2 jam, which means I swim for 2 hours. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Pukul berapa restoran tutup?
Restoran tutup pukul 9 malam.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Bukan salahmu bila diriku tak tahu bagaimana caranya mencintai. Bukannya aku tak cinta kamu, tak menyayangimu dengan sepenuh hatiku. Oh cintaku, biarkanlah cinta tumbuh dengan sendirinya dan mengajarkanku bijaksana dalam memaknai dan memahami. Oh bersabarlah hingga tiba di suatu masa aku bisa jadi yang terbaik dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu. Ini salahku, kekuranganku yang mencintaimu dengan cara yang berbeda. Dapatkah kamu merasakannya bahwa hatiku ini milik kamu seorang, milikmu sayang. Biarkanlah cinta tumbuh dengan sendirinya dan mengajarkanku bijaksana dalam memadai dan memahami. Oh bersabarlah hingga tiba di suatu masa aku bisa jadi yang terbaik dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu.
Duhai sayang, tiada cinta seindah cinta.
Maafkanku menerima segala kekuranganku. Semoga Tuhan memberi waktu bagiku untuk membalas kasih sayangmu.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting overbragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
empêchant la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19-Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about music. And for today's edition, we will present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I would like to present a song from Yogyakarta entitled Getuk. Getuk is known as a typical food of Yogyakarta and East Java. However, the song Getuk, composed by Mantos, doesn't talk about Getuk as a snack. The lyrics of the song Getuk tell about an invitation to have fun together until night. Well, listener, here is the song Getuk by Ida Ayu Swastika, and it is Mawanti. Happy listening!
Bye.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Oh,
Well, listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter at Voi Indonesia, email voi@voinews.id.